Angel Gabriel, amen. Gabriella, praise the Lord, amen. Take your Bible time. Oh, we got Heritage, Heroes, Eject Your Seat, Ejection Button, and Take Off, amen. Yeah! That's right, yell a little bit, get it over with. Amen. Isn't that good? And you're all free. Free babysitting for almost an hour. Wow. Take your Bible. Psalm 103. Somebody called this the old man's psalm. This is the old man's psalm. This is a man who's loved the Lord all his life. And he's not a grouchy old creature when he gets old. He's happy. He's thrilled about what God has done. Forget not all benefits, he said. Boy, I don't want to forget anything that God has done for me. Has God been good to you this week? I mean, way beyond comparison, way beyond you have any idea what God has done for you. And there's a lot of things that didn't happen to you and you have no idea it didn't happen to you. Every moment we live in danger. Every moment. Some live in a little more dangerous places than others. Like at the back of the preacher's motorcycle. But anyway. How many gone to the glacier? You've been to glacier? Raise your hand. If you've been to glacier, raise your hand. You ever been to glacier, raise your hand. Ever been to glacier, raise your hand. I'm looking here. Mrs. Talmadge, you've never been to glacier?
I didn't get that word never. Eight times one summer.
Okay, on this side, you've been to Glacier one time in your life. You haven't? You haven't? You haven't? You haven't? Sammy. Your poor wife. Deprived and depressed. It only, you know, you can leave here at 11 o'clock in the morning and you can go through the park and come back, get here back here about 9 o'clock if you don't mess around a lot. It is a good drive, wonderful drive. We were up there Monday. Bruce and Barb says, "Hey, we're going to Glacier. Want to go along?" I said, "Yeah." And when we got to the park, it was beautiful, about 90 degrees. At about 6 o'clock, it went from 90 degrees to 48 degrees. Just like that, about 5 minutes. It was incredible. And if... Once we got out of Browning, of course, it warmed up to 60. But all right, let's stand, read God's Word tonight, Psalm 103, the old man's psalm. I want you to look at it. I want you to see how this man who has lived for God all his life. Hey, did David have some bumps in the road? But he still arrived at his destination, a big smile on his face. When problems come in your life and you're going down the road and you get lost, hey, it's an adventure. You've never been there before. Enjoy the trip. Enjoy that. I heard Rob saying something about that. Yeah, Rob, that's the way my wife and I live, man. There's some things coming in our lives. Hey, we're just going to enjoy the trip. We're going to see what God has. Oh, I know. How many gave to camp, to kids going to camp? How many got a testimony for me?
First thing, Monday morning, I walked in the first day, walked up to me, too, and I finally got my TV after 2 months.
Amen. Anybody else? Lord did something for you? Yes, sir. Amen. Pray the Lord. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff going on. You know, boy, I'll tell you what, you all write it down. And count your many blessings, name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Satan wants you to forget it. Amen. All right, here we go. Psalm 103. We're going to begin at verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are opposed, excuse me, all oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. I was reading this again today, and I was going over again. I thought, boy, I am sure glad that that's in the Bible.
Amen.
He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We'd all be dead, amen?
Yeah.
For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You ought to underline that, those two verses. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. Our framework, our structure. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. My aunt Dolores, she's in her last few moments. I thought I was going to have to leave today to Michigan. And her son, Dwayne, police officer, died last year of cancer, and she's dying today. And I followed that, and I cried. Look at what the Bible says about our life. The wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. When you die, life continues on.
Yeah.
Thank God for heaven.
Amen.
Thank God for heaven. Men can build monuments and people drive by and say, what was that for? I don't know. Keep on going. No, no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting unto them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant. That's something he'll never break, amen. God doesn't break covenant. When we're married into a covenant. I make a covenant to with my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. I make a covenant to that girl right there and say, I will not break that covenant.
Amen.
Did you know in the old times you break a covenant, you die over that? And to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, and excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You may be seated. Father, move in our hearts tonight, and may this be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've looked at some things about how a Christian, the song is the soul set free. And that was kind of the title of this wonderful psalm, Psalm 103. I love this psalm. It talks about God's man. It talks about God's mercy. And talks about God's might. And we're still talking about God's man here, and talking about the prince who crineth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. He now takes us to the palace. And how, like our God, he brings us into the palace along the splendid corridors into the throne room itself. And he's going to the crown us. And the way he does everything else, superlatively. Think of the morning of creation. God, when God commanded the sea to swarm with fish, did he say, let the waters bring forth fish? No, he used the superlative and he said, let the waters bring forth fish abundantly. Well, that's great, amen. I don't know about that. I like the fish. And I like to get a pond that has abundantly fish, amen. Amen? I want one or two, man. I want a whole gob. Somebody said, how much of the whole gob? Oh, I don't know. You can't eat them all, amen. Think of Moses and Miriam and the children of Israel raising the Bible's first anthem song on the sands of Sinai. Egypt's army had been swept away. And how did Moses put it? The Lord has triumphed. No, he was a superlative. He said, the Lord has triumphed gloriously. He Same I am. And so God is going to crown us with what will? Kindness and mercy? No. He's going to crown us with loving kindness and, come on, tender mercy. See those superlatives he uses there. Now, number the pensioner who satisfies his mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. How wonderful it is to have one God, to be one of God's happy old people. This is big time. Now, I don't. Some of you people have no idea, but I've been, you know, every week I preach at old folks' homes. I do. I just today I was there, and man, I see some people, just grumpy old people. They're just not happy. When my wife was at the Benefice East Care Center, there was a couple people just grumpy. There's me, just me. Kim will tell you that. No, she won't, because you can't divulge anything. But there's mean people there. People that throw food at you. People that curse at the helpers. Some of you people who worked at homes like that, they're mean. They're really mean. And you know what? Thank God for happy old people. Happy old people. I was talking to a lady named Kathy Yarger today, and she heads up heads up all the volunteers. She's working on a deal with chaplains. And she would tell me about her mother. And her mother was dying. And the kids were kind of fussing with her. She says, "Goodness me, I'm going to heaven. What you fussing about? You know, praise the Lord." And she was so excited about going to heaven. Amen. You know, hey, I'll tell you what, go to heaven, man. It's no more troubles, no more sorrows, no more heartaches, no more bills. Amen. So, he does not have what it takes to make people happy, especially old people. And he would not make people happy even if he could. I'm talking about Satan. Satan doesn't make happy people, especially old people. Young people, oh, they're so happy to go in drugs and so happy going being promiscuous and so happy to drive the fastest car and the fastest motorcycle and the fastest boat and ski behind. Oh, they're just having a great time. But when a person loses his strength and loses his beauty and the things that used to be firm are sagging now and wrinkling up and all that other stuff, you look at the commercials, everybody trying to get something fixed up, tucked up, tightened up, you know, working better, you know, and people aren't happy. They're sad. And Satan, remember Howard Hughes? Probably the wealthiest man ever lived in his day. He died at 70 years old with fame and fortune. He had all the world that had to offer. He was rarely seen, listen to this, he was rarely seen in public for the last 20 years of his life. He spent his final days mostly in pajamas. That might not be a bad idea. Amen. Living on fudge and cake. He weighed only 90 pounds, and at death he suffered from malnutrition. And he never would go in public because he was afraid he was going to get sick. Did he die a happy life? Did he live a happy life? No, he didn't. Could his money buy him anything? Queen of England said, "I will give you the half of my kingdom if you give me one more day to live." Could she buy it? Yeah, she could buy it. Could you get it? No. No. You better just determine right now that you're going to be happy. Thankful what God gives you. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Just keep remembering all the things that God does for you. What are some things God did for you today? What's the thing God did for you today? I walked into... I was I walked into Bantamus, and they gave me a glass of water and a banana. I'm easy, man. I'm like a monkey, man. Just give me the banana. I'll sing for you, man. You know? God just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. So many times we forget to write it down. If I don't write things down on this little wonderful pad that I have here, and what time I did what and what I'm doing and so on and so forth, I forget. And it'd be a good idea to keep a little journal on how God has blessed you. Amen. David, in his advancing years, raised his poem of praise to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He was a man, he was God's man. He was God's old man. And he was God's old happy man. Don't you want to be happy? Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Be happy. Be smiling. I don't like to be around old grouches. My aunt Dolores, God bless her, says, don't be a grouch gut. Now, whatever that means, I don't know. But she used to say that all the time. Don't you be a grouch gut now. And she's the happiest lady you ever seen in your life. She's always happy. Always smiling. Always pulling some kind of prank on us. And you had to be crazy to be have a son like Dwayne. But anyway. Secondly, God's mercy. And I just love this. This is fruit to my soul. This is a blessing. They're here in verses 8 through 18. God's mercy. Psalm 103, 8 to 18. God's magnificent when he manifests his mercy in this. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Isn't it nice to have some people that's gracious? You come in their home and they're so gracious. They want to make sure that you're fed. They want to make sure you've got cold water. Make sure you get Swan's ice cream. Amen. Popcorn. Amen. You know, hey, man. Mm-hmm. It's just fun to go to, you know. The other night I had to do some things for the sheriff's office, and Marcia was over to Joyce's house, and I came there and I couldn't figure out. I called him and said, well, when are you coming? I said, well, I'll be there about 6. Okay. Well, I didn't realize they had Howard's pizza waiting for me. Amen. Man, that's gracious. Amen. Did you get a Howard's yet? All right. Amen. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. I like that. If someone's slow to anger, you can straighten up and say, okay, I won't do that again. Are you slow to anger with your children? Or you just jack slap them to tomorrow? You're slow to anger. Plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dwelt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. There was an interesting story about Queen Elizabeth the First and England's most famous king. And she had a very special favorite nobleman, and his name was Earl Essex. If you ever read anything about it, you'll read about him. And one day Elizabeth gave him her ring as a indication of her affection, and promised him that he had ever accused of a crime, that he'd only have to send that ring to her, and she would at once grant him audience that he might himself plead his case before her. This is before you were innocent, you were guilty. It was before you were, how did it go? You're innocent before you're proven guilty, or guilty before you're innocent, whatever. And that was back in those days. If they thought that you were guilty, off went your head. Amen. That's just the way it was. The day came when he needed that ring, for he was accused of conspiracy. untruth, but he was, and high treason, and he was executed. For the ring that Elizabeth had given to him, never presented to her, so she allowed her favorite to die. Years pass. Then one day, the Countess of Nottingham, a relative but certainly no friend of the Earl, lay dying herself, and she sent a message to Elizabeth asking the Queen to come to her. She had a confession that she had to make. If she were to die in peace, Elizabeth duly arrived at the deathbed, and the Countess produced the ring and the Queen that once given to Essex, her favorite. It seemed that Essex had given the ring to the Countess with an urgent request that she would take it straight to Elizabeth. But the Countess betrayed his trust. Now, in her last moments, she entreated Elizabeth's forgiveness. The sight of the ring, Elizabeth was livid with rage. She seized the dying Countess in her bed and shook her and shook her and shook her till her teeth rattled, they said. God may forgive you, she screamed, but God may forgive you, madam, but I'll never forgive you. And the Countess died. How sad. Thank God for God's grace. He holds no grudges, harbors no resentment. There is no sin that he will not forgive in this gracious and glorious age of grace. In which we live in, if only we ask him in repentance and remorse. Thank God for that, amen. You believe God will forgive you anything? Amen. You better. That's what the Bible says, amen. God measures his mercy. This is B. God measures his mercy. Verse 11 and 12. For the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. If you'll just think of this for a minute. For as the heaven is high above the earth. Let's just go straight up right from here. Amen? How far you go? They've had that Hubble telescope out, and if you are interested in that, you go on NASA and look on those pictures, those amazing things. Even the black hole that we were taught when we were kids is not a black hole. Somebody said there's over 100 or 200 more constellations just like the one we live in, more, that you couldn't see with the naked eye. By the way, these stars are not for us. These are for our Heavenly Father, but he gave them to us to enjoy. Amen? Those are for him. So the vertical measure, we take the point of this planet and draw a line straight upward, which extends the line beyond the clouds and up beyond the remotest planets, up beyond the highest stars, up. That's called a vertical measure. Then he says, as far as the east is from the west. Now, if we would, and this is called a horizontal measure. And we take the point of this planet and draw the line horizontally. We must go draw the line from the east, from the west, and then draw a line from the south and the north. They say that the light, it takes you, if you are shining a light, takes you 14 seconds from North Pole to South Pole. That's all it takes. 14 seconds. Kind of drives like some of you guys do. And the north measure is finite. Not so for the east and west measure. It is a travel north from the given point. Sooner or later you're going to reach the north point. A definite point. Then you travel south and south pole. And there's a definite point, but the east and the west, that's different. It doesn't stop. Just keep going, 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 going. One man said, when you do that, it's north and south and east and west, you have the cross. And that cross pinpoints Calvary, amen. God's multitude of mercies, verses 13 to 16. The psalmist has measured God's mercy in terms of distance. He tells us how God maintains this terms of life as his dimension, his dimensional illustration runs at once infinite, so the durational illustration runs eternal. And God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Boy, I'll tell you what. Thank God for that. Amen. Remember Jesus told Peter. Peter said, how many times are you supposed to give? Seven times? He said, no, 70 times seven. And then it's an active verb. It just keeps on going again and again and again. I have not yet had anybody go against me 70 times. Or 70. I'm there. Let alone 70 times 7. So God said that we're supposed to be very gracious in our lives. Amen? And very careful how we treat each other. Well, then he goes to God's might here in verses 19 and 22. The psalm ends with an acknowledgement of God's might. The heavenly throne. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. It was the sight of this throne that filled Lucifer with such unholy ambition. It was the sight of this throne high and lifted up that led Isaiah to his consecration to the cause of God. This is the throne that filled John's vision of Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. 17 times in those two short chapters, his mention of it. It is the sight of this throne, so stable, so sure, so enabled the aged apostle to walk calmly through the devastating scenes which followed in the apocalypse. He said, hey, it's a throne. Nothing can destroy God's throne, amen? We can get through this thing. And same way in our Christian life, we can get through things if we go to the throne, amen? And Jesus says, come to the throne. Come boldly before the throne of God and find mercy in the time of need. The troubles come, heartaches come, things that you don't expect, things you don't know what's going to happen, things you don't know what's turned. Can you imagine Janet Jordan tonight, how she must feel? We can't. You and I don't know that. Her family doesn't. There's only one person who knows what she's feeling, and it's her. Remember that time they said you had cancer? Nobody knew what you felt like. Nobody knew what you were going through. Nobody had your background. Nobody had your, you know. You go to the hospital and they say, hey, we're sorry, but we don't think that little baby's going to make it. Some of you have been there. You want to be real careful when you say, I know how you feel. Because you don't know how you feel. You said, but I lost a baby. Okay. You don't know how they feel. Even if you lost one. Now, you've got some pretty good ideas. But there's a lot of background, a lot of things behind all this stuff that's going on in their mind and thinking. You don't know how you feel when your son is incarcerated. You don't know that. You don't know when your daughter is going to have a baby out of wedlock. You don't have that feeling. You don't understand that stuff. So let's, as Christians, let's have mercy.
Amen.
And let's be careful what we say, because it may happen to you someday or to your family member someday, and you'll say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have said certain things. I just want to help you out. I'm not fussing with you. I'm just telling you, hey, there's a lot of crazy things going on in this world. And it's been going on ever since Adam and Eve. Nothing new under the sun. And thank God that there's a heaven. Thank God there's a Savior. Thank God there's one who understands. He says, I know you're... Well, we'll get to that, amen. I think I still got a little bit more here. I'm jumping the gun here. The heavenly throne. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that exalt strength, that do his commandment, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. They excelled in strength. This is the angel, all right? They excelled in strength. They excelled in service. They excelled in song. There are 10,000 times 10,000 of them and thousands of thousands of them, and they hang upon his words and rush to do his bidding. An angel never said, huh? Never once. Gone. Done. Done deal. Anything the master said, they did it. And they did it very happily and thrilled. Sometimes we sing courses, and they're what we call a sing, we sing in a round. And we'll start a song and then get through a couple of phrases, and then somebody else will start and we'll sing and sing and sing. What are some songs like that? Come on, girls. Like what? Huh? No, I'm thinking spiritual stuff. Come on, Corey. There's some other songs. Huh?
Father, I adore you.
Yeah, I don't sing that one you're just talking about. But anyway. Father, I adore thee. Somebody jump in there.
How I love you.
Love you. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, don't we sing songs around? Exactly. This is exactly how this psalm went. It talks about the heavenly throng. This heavenly throng that was singing. And sometimes... it locks us into an encircling praise. It just keeps going and going. You can sing that song all the time, you know, like row, row, row your boat. And we get to the end, and it becomes the beginning. And we get to the end, and it becomes the beginning, and the new beginning. And such is the praise that David was saying. That's our endless praise. And, boy, I wish you'd just surround yourself with Psalm 103. It'll keep you straight, keep your life well rounded by always being thankful for all that God has done for you. All right. Whew. Well, next week I'll be at camp. So I'll miss Psalm 104. Next week we'll be at camp. I'll miss Psalm 105.